Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet,
sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today, I have the pleasure of having Billy McKnight. He is with lead singer of the Soul Circus Cowboys. If you'd like to propose a question, just go ahead and put one in the chat room, and I'm going to read it on the air, or you can call in at 347-324-3460. Billy, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Tim. How are you guys doing?
Great. I guess to begin with, kind of tell us about yourself. Where are you from, and how did you get started?
Well, we're from Tampa Bay area, and all five guys are that are in the band. We've got an extra guy since we put it out. I moved to Nashville to pay my dues and learn a thing or two about writing songs and recording them, and I got what I think I could get from there, and came back here and started creating this band called the Soul Circus Cowboys with a bunch of brilliant musicians and songwriters down here in about 2009. Although each one of us in the band have been doing this for over 15 years, this band's been together about three.
Mm-hmm. When you took your tour, when you left Tampa and went to Nashville and to pay your dues with country music, how did you begin that journey? Because I know that's really scary. You know, some people don't go with anything. They just go on faith and determination and willpower to get a break in Nashville. When you left Tampa, what you thought you was going to accomplish when you left there, and who are you going to meet to go to Nashville? Did you have someone there already set up?
That's a great question, Tim, because I didn't. I had a band here previous of leaving to go to Nashville, and we did really well. You have those circuit bands that get to play the better places, and I just wanted more from it. I wanted to really make this my career, and I went in head first and went down the music road. At the time, this was late 90s, and there was a bunch of bigger labels there, and I basically went down, shook hands, introduced myself, and tried to get in, and that old expression, door slamming in your face, I was no stranger to it at all. But if you stick it out and you have thick skin and you're able to take a whole bunch of no's, eventually you'll find somebody who will take you, write a song with you, and then you record a demo, and then you just kind of grow by networking yourself. And by the time I left, almost 10 years later, I had a really good circle of not only friends but professionals that I was working with that I can fly up there or drive up there and get back in touch with and write with and record with and further along what I do and what I do for this band.
Wow. If you go back to that time in the early 90s, I remember when I was in college and in the 80s, in which we always played at these the clubs or played at the hotels were great. And you just go from one venue to another venue. Touring is really tiring. You do it for a few weeks, oh, it's fine. A month is fine. But when you get to, like, month three, driving and going through the whole, on this band tour, it gets really taxing.
So you've been there.
I've been there. In college. But, you don't need much food and need much things when you're in college. You just do it. And you can live off of, peanut butter for much, but going through that particular phase for you and arriving there on that first day at Nashville, did you have a venue to go play at?
No, actually, this is going to be, when I pulled into town, this guy's name won't matter to anyone because he didn't make a famous show, but a friend of mine from my town of Tampa, Jimmy Grubbs, was opening up, was playing for literally George Jones at the Opry House. He got a gig there. He'd been playing at the Dallas Bowl, which is a huge country club here, and he wound up sitting in. So when I'm driving into town, he said, come here. I wasn't there a whole 24 hours, and I'm backstage. at one of the most popular places in the world watching my friend, who was really good at the time, pick up a gig for George Jones. And I didn't get to meet George that day. Later on I did, but I was like, holy cow, this is going to be a breeze. And then, you know, 10 years later, I'm like, holy cow, this is hard as can be. You know, so, and that's just the truth. I drove in and got to jump right into it, and then it seemed to catapult backwards from there. But I love it. You know, I love writing songs. I love musicians and what they're able to do, and then performing them is the best. So I stuck with it, and with this group now, we've got some momentum. We've shot a video. We've had our second release. We're out sharing stages with acts like Jake Owens and Big and Rich. That was just last weekend, and Alan Jackson. And we're getting seen by many people, and the song's spinning. I'd like it to spin more, and of course go up higher on the charts. But right now, the video is doing well. On our song "Lay It Down" is out on GAC right now. For your listeners who watch GAC, they can catch "Lay It Down" by the Soul Service Cowboys a few times a week. So we're happy. It moves slow. You know, they're old saying it takes an hour and a half to watch 60 Minutes in Nashville. That's kind of our band.
Yeah. Wow. So how did music come to you? Does it come in the middle of the night, or just comes in pieces, and then you sit at the keyboard, the guitar, and compose it out?
You know, that was a weird thing, too. In Nashville, I learned that these really talented songwriters, they went to work or a publishing house where they met at 10 in the morning. They'd write till 1 and take a lunch break and finish the song. For me, it wasn't like that. I wasn't a machine like that. I would all of a sudden, an idea would pop in, a melody popped in. I'd start from there and hopefully finish something. I've worked both ways. I've gone to sit here with the determination that you're going to write a song and come up with something good, or it pops in my head, and I always like that better, because that's just, you know, it just seems to come more natural for me. You know, I've seen some diehard writers, they'll kick them out all week long, and I'm not that good.
Wow, yeah, it's amazing. I guess they do it all the time, and they just hear so many sounds and things, so it just feeds it. Because it's amazing how they just do that. And I said, how in the world can someone write a song in 15 and 20 minutes? I guess, but if you're around it, and that's all you have to focus on, and it just comes to you, different patterns and different songs, and that's
one
all you do all day.
One of the songs that are on our record right now, even though I first got it over 10 years ago, was written by someone who's taught me more about writing than anyone in the world. His name's Frank Myers, and he wrote hits like "I Swear" from John Michael Montgomery and a whole bunch of Lone Star. He's an amazing man, and I get close to him. He showed me how to take the idea and put it in letter form, and then take that letter form and have a big chorus that sums up what you're trying to say. And he showed me some technical parts if I had an idea that was good, and a couple of his songs are on my record to date, and I will always look to him to better my lyrics or ask him for something, some big hit that he wrote to stick on one of my records, because he's brilliant. And so I always give him props anytime I get to talk on the radio or about what I do.
Wow. So what was his advice to advise you on how to put that together when you have the idea and you have this big chorus? Go ahead.
Well, a lot of times, and this is me in the beginning, a lot of times I'd start off writing, you know, if I'm writing a ballad, but let's just use that as an example. You could get wordy trying to say one thing. You take a couple of money words out of it, and this is him just trying to teach me how to put it in song. And you can come up with a great idea all day, but until you put it into a nice song and tight melody, you're just writing a bunch of words. And he'd say, take that and write it into a letter, and then break that letter down and make a chorus that will, when you're explaining how you feel in the letter, and you're doing the verb of it, or the action of the verse, then make that chorus, sum it all up. So, you know, that's the question. So I don't know if I'm explaining half as well as he explained to me, but I finally got it, and I was able to pull off a couple good ones. So, you know, that, not explaining it as well as him, is the best I got for you.
Well, I mean, no, it really makes sense.
In letter form.
Okay.
Yeah.
It really does. When you went through your career, and then you came back and put these musicians together, where did you get the name from, Soul Sucker Cowboys?
Yeah, that's something that that took many years. We wanted something clever. We wanted something to explain when you've been doing it as long as these five guys have, and we're not spring chickens, although we are brand new to people who, of course, have never heard us or seen a show. There's a lot of personalities in the band, and there's a lot of different styles that we take from. And, you know, the Cowboys is a country thing. The Surfers is because we all like to goof up, and our shows are fun. And the Soul is because we like to write from our heart and soul. And throw the three together, and you've got it kind of like one of the songs I think we talked about that you have there is our theme song called Cowboy Tattoo Attitude. It kind of is like we want to be able to hit the masses, from the guy who's a diehard cowboy to the guy who used to be a rocker to the young kids to the old people. We want to really have a versatile record. So Soul Circus Cowboys kind of says it all. And it was me and my acoustic player, harmony singer, that were sitting around the house writing songs, just pondering names. And you should see some of them we came up with. And that was one of the stuff. Yeah, we spent over a year trying to find that name. And then it happened. It just popped out. And we went with it.
Wow.
It's crazy because people always ask us that name of that band, I don't know, you know, it really interests people. Maybe it's because it's fun to say or it sounds funky. I don't know.
Yeah, I can see the Cowboys have soul, but when you add the circus to it, say, oh, that's kind of unusual.
Yeah, well, if you hear some of the stuff, you know, like we have a great audience that's growing for us, and in that audience, when we look out, there are all sorts of characters, and even from our hometown, how did that guy and then this girl both like this music? Because they are night and day. One's a doctor and one's just a crazy lunatic that hangs out all the place. I mean, so you got, you know, it's very circusy the way we act on stage and the way we have fun with it and just the kind of material that we write. So it kind of fits us, and it seems to be fitting our audience as well.
Wow. So if you go back in time real quick, about 20, 30 years, and you're growing up in Tampa, who were the artists who influenced you as a young kid, and who influenced you to that inspired you to make the leap of faith and go to Nashville?
I love that question, and I got a few different bands that again, this might be where the circus part comes up. I grew up loving the band Journey. I loved the way they sang. I loved their romantic songs. They blew my mind when I'd be skating in the skating rink and their songs come on and we get to do the couple skate and all that stuff. I love them. As I got older and got into my own band, I loved the playing the rock and stuff of Lynyrd Skynyrd, you know, because it was just the people went nuts. I'll be 18, 19 years old doing Sweet Home Alabama, and no matter what, I was going to get an applause even if I bombed the song. But then, funny as it might be, the band Outlaws used to travel with Lynyrd Skynyrd, who later became Blackhawk. He was from Tampa, and I met him, and that's who I wrote four or five of the songs with, Henry Paul, and learned so much about Southern rock country and how I want to write and why I want to write about this. And so he's a major influence, and he's my co-producer and songwriter, and he's got a lot to do with this record, and I think the world of him as well. So, though, I mean, there's so many more, you know, if I were to pick out favorites and stuff, but those three and those genres really affected the way I write and sing and what we do in this band.
Well, so it's kind of strange, as you mentioned that, more of that particular influence. You know, if we go from the first part of the last century, which things were more folk, and my family from Louisiana, they love country music, and down there they call it hillbilly. And it's just amazing how they take a song, they're real loyal, and oh my gosh, they'll support you regardless of whatever you sound good or bad. They're going to support you to the very end. Cause they just,
I love
somehow,
that about,
just, they
about
were...
country music. You know, if you touch them with one of your storylines or a melody line that they can sing to, they become part of it. And that's what's so great is even now in this band 3 years ago when I used to just do it, as my own solo project a long time ago, I still have the same people email me or show up, and they are loyal people, and it makes for a much more satisfaction to be out there performing when you see people that's been with you for over 10 years and loving every bit of it and encouraging you to write more and giving you song ideas by their life stories and your own. Mix them all up and you got it.
Wow. So why do you think it's the big draw that brings out this loyalty? I mean, and rock, you don't have that.
I'm a rock fan as well. I think rock is a night of party with those beats and those electric guitars making you just, you know, pull something out of you that's just, you know, the wild inside you. But I think country music is life stories, lived lyrics that you can relate to. If I'm singing a song that's affected me, like our new song, Lay It Down, I know about stuff like that. And if you listen to the lyric content, see the video, and you can connect to it, that's a lot different than one of your favorite rock and roll songs that just make you move, get up and dance, and have a great time. It sticks with you. It becomes part of your personality. That would be my guess why they're so much loyal, because they're about each other.
Absolutely. So if we go back also, what influenced you at that particular time? You know, I don't know if you're familiar with Hee Haw. It used to be one of my favorite shows back in the 70s. And he had these groups that come on, and it was amazing the culture that he had and the influence they had every Saturday night they came on. And it grabbed a particular audience. It grabbed everybody. And kids enjoyed the show, because when I was a kid, I enjoyed the show.
Especially like Jerry Reed.
I was like, you know, I love Minnie Pearl and Grandpa Jones. And, of course, Bulk. And also Roy, but then they all had the different groups that come on. But it was just really funny show that a whole family can sit down and relate to something about it. But as country music changed from the staples of the 70s and went into the 80s, and you mentioned, you know, the influence of Journey and everybody else, all of a sudden the whole country genre started to expand in different flavors and different areas. What caused that? That type of expansion. Now, we're just not going to stay in this mainstream. We're actually going to start spreading apart.
You know, I have a feeling the internet did. You know, back then, especially in the 70s, when I look at the good stories of Johnny Cash and go back, and they were a group of guys, and it was kind of a good old boy system, and you had some really intelligent guys that put it out on radio where you went door to door. And now you can get music from just turning on Yahoo, and all those influences just touched a little bit differently from how they heard when a Garth Brooks song in the 90s. The young guy coming up that's 20 years old takes the influence of that, but his mom listened to Johnny Cash, and then, of course, he's listening to Jason Aldean now, and he writes this thing and he puts it on the internet. So you've got this huge expansion of how creative the world is when you're a songwriter and an artist. And so it just broadens it so much more because there's so many ways to get to it. And the trouble we're finding as trying to get out there is how do you market the internet the best you can, so as many people as you can touch will touch it. That's in the business aspect, that's what we're going for, because that's the way people get their music. It's still those great, talented guys and those wonderful songs out there, but there's just an open source of how to get to it. So how do you hone in on your target audience and get them to go to it? And what right now I'm finding is the best way to do it is get out there in your van and your trailer and go perform really well and shake hands with everybody and ask them to tell two people. And word of mouth and going on the internet is the way to do it. So I hope I answered that right. I think
Absolutely. Yeah. Because now you're able, the versus before, you were really restricted to the industry to do it. But right now you can be your own self. You can record your own stuff at your own home or rent a studio and spend the money and, you know, record everything live. Practice and record it live. And then cut it, and then within 24 hours, get onto the internet, get onto your own website, line up your own distribution, and as long as you have a social following, I mean, you got it made.
And that's what's happening, and thank God for Facebook and Reverb Nation, and about that, I mean, three quarters of my CD was recorded in Nashville. We have some tracks from Orlando, and we had one acoustic version we wanted to do there because it's a pretty rocking CD and it's got a lot of instrument stuff also. We have one where we just took a fiddle and an acoustic guitar and sang a ballad. And speaking of Louisiana, my good friend Randy Boudreaux, who's a huge writer, from Louisiana, and he wrote this song right here, and we put it on there. So if any of your listeners choose to go to soulcircuscowboys.com or pick up a CD, you'll hear a very diverse record that was recorded in several cities across the Southeast, and that just gives a little more touch, you know, just a little more atmosphere when you don't spend the whole project in one room and you move it around and you use different players on each of it.
And different sounds. So what do you think of country music today? I mean, we have really changed in the last 15 years.
I love it.
Wow.
I absolutely love it. I love, you know, that I'm surprised at how much I like the act. You know, I can listen to it all day long. I still listen to all music, but I love it. I was huge into George Strait. You know, I met him personally when I lived up there, and I know his manager very well, so I got to hang with all those guys, and Roy Orbison was my flat-out hero, the way he was able to sing Garth Brooks. But now, you know, like I mentioned, Jason Aldean, Big and Rich, Jake Owens, their music is just moving to me. I love it. I love Taylor Swift, and she's, you know, what is she, 20? I mean, she's got great, great songwriting skills, and she lays out there, and, you know, I think the world of it. I would love to stay in this business and meet all these artists and meet everybody who comes out to listen to all your listeners and everyone who's a fan of it and just talk like we're doing right now. I just think the world of this business. It's a tough one, but it's a whole lot of fun.
Wow. So when you have, like, for example, any particular artist that you've met and have given you, I would say a legend, giving you advice, what type of advice they have given you who's been in this business for you admire for decades, and say, hey, if I give you one piece of advice or two pieces of advice, this is what I give you. Anyone you run into?
Jimmy Olander from Diamond Rio, the lead guitar player, amazing musician in the 90s. We became very close. We used to jump out of planes together, and we also worked out at the same gym. Yeah, he's great, and all those guys are from Diamond Rio. He told me his best of advice is said, Billy, it doesn't matter if you ever sing these songs, if you want to produce an act, he goes, but what does matter is that you write songs and you write them to the day you're gone. So, you know, just be a songwriter and continue writing, whether you cut it or not, just do a rough track and follow it away and be a songwriter, because that you can grow on that and you can stay with that for the rest of your life.
Wow. In your music, what inspires you when you do your music?
Well, that's a great question, and that comes from so many different areas in my life. I write for fun a lot of the time, but a lot of times I write for release. It's kind of like therapy for me. If you go to the gym to get off stress, or you're a jogger, or maybe a cup of coffee or some ice cream, a lot of times I'll write a song or start a song just to ease my mind. So it could be so many different things. It could be a life story. It could be a pain I'm feeling. It could be a love I'm feeling. I can't really pinpoint it. I write songs about my girlfriend. I write songs about my friends. I write songs about my family. I write songs about having fun and just all the experiences I could do. Whatever I know about or I've felt where I can be honest about the lyric that I'm writing and I'm not trying to force it, I write it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And a person who's coming up in this particular industry, what advice would you normally give them? Say, hey, this is what you need to do because things are different. This is advice I would give you.
The best advice I would give them is always take a little advice, but shelf most of it. Become yourself. Continue songwriting or working on your craft until you've really got your own identity that you can feel honest about, it because they can't take that away from it, and then that's the truth. And so you're going to reveal that to the listener or not. If you continue to listen to everybody else tell you how it's going to get done, then you're lost in a whole bunch of opinions. You just have to keep writing and focusing on how you want to deliver this song to somebody. And when you continue to look to your heart and to yourself, and you continue to put that down, you will find the artist in you, and then it's for real, and nothing can take that away from you.
How do you trust your own intuition? I mean, what speaks to you than versus what advice is given?
Well, after you read, if you're honest about what you write, and you have a melody that's pretty, and when you read it, and you know that you have felt that so strong, and, you know, a friend or a family member has felt or lived that too, then you're right. You've got to go with your gut, it's very hard for our listener to hear a song for the first time and get it unless it's a pretty melody, and or they're touched because they get it because they've lived it themselves. So if you're honest with it, then it'll work.
Wow. What do you think you will be in the next 5 years?
My ultimate goal is to write or perform a number one song. I don't want to be a one-hit wonder, but I do want to reach that at that point. When I get there, I probably want to have, you know, two or three more. I think that I have got an amazing, talented band, and we're on to a new sound. I think, we pull from the rock, we pull from the country, and we use live lyrics like we've been talking about in this interview. And I think that there's a lot of people who will relate to the songs that we write and perform, and it's my ultimate goal is to have that number one.
Okay. And in 100 years from now, how do you like to be remembered?
Somebody who has made his share of mistakes and found himself and gotten through it and is able to say something that's positive and always be a positive person in the songs that I write, that, you know, I was a happy guy, God-loving guy, family guy, and left a good mark.
Okay. And that song that speaks to, say, hey, this is what Billy Wink-Knight is all about.
Well, you know, I'm still here is on our record. I wrote that one about, you know, I had some ups and downs and some rocky roads in this career. And
mm-hmm.
I have done the things and to get back on track, and it kind of sums it up. I don't know if it's the strongest song on my record, but it certainly was straight. Every word of it was straight out of my heart of surviving some failures and then glorifying God for helping me get back on the right track. So I like that one. So right now, I might write something even closer, but right now, I'm Still Here definitely works for me.
Okay. Okay, great. Well, Billy, thank you for coming on the program. I really appreciate it, and I wish you all the best.
Well, I appreciate it. It was a nice interview. You're a great guy, and best of luck to you, and I hope your listeners like the Soul Circus Cowboys.
Absolutely. And what's your website address again?
SoulCircusCowboys.com. By the way, if any of your listeners do Facebook, I'd love to hear some comments, or if they have different questions that me and you didn't cover, please reach out to us on the Soul Circus Cowboys fan page. And one of our guys, there's me, there's Johnny, there's two Jasons, and Dewey Buxton will reach out to you personally if you look at us, each of their bios and what they do are on there. And we do all our own answering on Facebook. We're still small enough that
right.
We talk to everybody as much as we can.
Wow. And you also have a Twitter or just only Facebook?
Soul Circus Tweet.
Soul Circus Tweet. Okay. Well, we really got it. Well, thanks. I appreciate it again.
Thank you, Tim. Have a great day.
Okay, have a great day. Same here. Take care.
Yeah.
As we conclude real quick, we're going to go and play I'm Still Here with the Soul Circus Cowboys. Everybody, thank you for listening. You can download this episode on iTunes on Blog Talk Radio. We ask you to go to his website, write some comments and reviews, but also go to iTunes because iTunes will like to hear, get some reviews about how the episodes go. So go ahead and write the reviews on iTunes as well. So anyway, here is I'm Still Here, and we'll conclude with the program. Everybody, thank you for listening. Take care.
All right.
Sorry, guys.
The Soul Circus Cowboys have set up shop here on the set of the Daily Buzz and are ready to get your morning started. Ladies and gentlemen, singing I'm Still Here, Soul Circus Cowboys.
I was here.
step the things you've done. The hearts I've burned, the pain I've caused, I never meant to hurt them, I was just lost. By the time I turned my life around, it's a long way up when you're so far down. When you with the devil, you get what you get. It's true. I've done a lot of things that I regret. When you throw away all you love, there's nothing left to fear. By the grace of God, I'm still here. I'm still here.
Thank you for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For a free quote on equipment leasing and financing, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. And fill out the information to receive your free quote. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to the core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. Thanks again for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.